Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Healing Circle, which is a panel composed of spiritual teacher Kat Edwards and myself, a former social worker. We come together every week for topical discussions in which we share our experience, strength, and hope about everyday life. From depression to connection, we cover all the issues you feel and see as you walk life's sacred journey. Listeners are encouraged to call in and contribute to the show because we all have hard-earned wisdom we need to share. Join us every week at the same day and time. Now, for today's show, we'll be talking about manners and respect. Please feel free to participate or to us. So let me introduce Kat. Kat, how are you doing tonight?
Hello, I'm doing well, thank you. Thanks for everybody tuning in.
Yes, we're grateful to have you folks, and hope that any of you that might want to participate will press 1 so that you can get into the queue. As I said, we're going to be talking about manners and respect, and I usually ask Kat to start things off, and tonight's not going to be any different. Kat, what would you like to say?
Well, manners and respect go hand in hand. And there are two things I hear older people say in society: there's no manners and respect anymore from the younger generation. But then if we look at history and we look back over the 20th century, we can see the degeneration of manners and respect. Unfortunately, I think it went hand in hand with the degeneration of the, when women began to rise up and start to put themselves forward and say no more suppression, rightly so. Being a woman, I've experienced all sorts of misogyny and BS that it's just been absolutely ridiculous the way that some people carry on. So, and I was born at the end of the 20th century, so I can imagine what our sisters went through to get the rights that I've experienced. So I'm not poo-pooing any of that, but it seems to me, and I'm not a sociologist, so anyone who is, please call in, that as we rose through women's liberation, something somewhere changed around the 60s especially, where people stopped making respect and manners a priority in their communication with each other. And it started to degrade. And then we found that sexuality was more and more and more on display. And as all of that occurred and we got into the 80s, respect for the environment, cleaning up after ourselves, caring for our elderly, showing respect for those who are older than us, all of these things began to degenerate. So I think that we did it right in that we got liberation for women, and we got women able to get up and experience life in a more positive fashion and not be suppressed and oppressed. What we didn't get right was continuing some of the manners systems that we had in place, the politenesses. Somewhere, somehow, those things fell apart. And now we're in a place where we have generations of people who don't use the title and last name of their elders to speak with them. And we have generations of people who will, you know, think nothing to be rude to somebody who's older than them, who don't know to say please and thank you, and who don't have any of the articulation that's required just to be polite so that you can get around in the world. And the thing is that if you are polite, it does not mean that you are weak. You can still stand up for yourself. You can still have self-control, and you can still show people that you are a strong person. That's not the issue. The issue that is that with manners and respect and politeness, people will be reciprocate. They will reciprocate. They will want to give you kindness back. It's really about showing kindness, don't you think, David? Yep. It's about being kind to one another.
I totally agree with
you. Ramble, but
no. Everything that you said speaks of truth to me. I've noticed that younger people do not seem to have the kind of manners that my generation was taught when I was a child. I certainly resonate with suggestion and observation that people do not use surnames with the Mr. or Mrs. or whatever Ms. in front of it. And I find that that is a little too familiar for a young person to call an elder by their first name unless they've been given permission to do so, or call them a familiar expression like Uncle Bill or Aunt Jean, something like that. I know that the manners that people express are what is taught to them as children. And I think that there has been a breakdown amongst parents in teaching their children manners. And when there aren't manners, then, as you say, manners and respect go hand in hand. To me, without good manners, that's a sign of not showing respect to somebody else. And as a social worker, I observe the phenomenon of people just farming out their elders and not taking care of them in their older years. And I think that that's a shame, that that seems to be happening more and more in our society, at least here in the States. And where is the respect in that? You know, to me, life is all about giving and giving back. And if our parents take care of us as children, I think it's our obligation to show them the same kind of respect in their elder years and take care of them the best that we can. What do you think about that, Kat?
Yes, I agree. I mean, you've got to, every individual case is different there. And you've got to work with your elder. And I'm currently working with my father, trying to get, he's fiercely independent. But he needs help in certain things. And I have to also work with three older brothers of mine. So it takes a lot of communication to get where we need to be to support him. And a lot of agreement. But in the end, he did have a hand in raising us. He was one part of two people who did. And, you know, that is really important. And now over here in Australia, it's the same thing. People are, not everybody, but there are a lot of people who park their elderly in nursing homes. And when that old person passes away, there's not even a funeral for them. They're just sent to cremation, which is very sad.
That is sad.
So, yeah, it is. And really that boils down to selfishness, quite frankly, I think, and people getting caught up in their own lives and not really looking around and seeing what is there. And it can be... Look, it's difficult to raise a child. It's difficult to look after an elderly person because you go through a cycle where you're helpless and then you learn to dress yourself and you learn to eat and you learn to look after yourself and you become slowly more independent of your parents until you can leave home. And then as you get old, you decline into dependency again. And that's just the cycle of being a human being. So respect there for our elders is really important. I think I saw something on Facebook a while back in the Netherlands, I think it was, where they were putting young people, late teens, early 20s, people going to university, they were housing them in the same structure as elderly people, so that the elderly people could have the joy of being around the youth and reinvigorated by the youth, and the youth could have the joy of experiencing the wisdom and the knowledge of the elders.
Mm.
And I think that's a really beautiful marriage.
Yes.
And that there encourages young people to mind themselves. You know, one of the things I teach I've got a four-year-old son, and one of the things I taught him was hats off when you come inside. And now when I first taught him that, he got really upset and he was really angry and he didn't like it. And it's because at daycare, all the children, before they go outside, they put sunscreen on them and they put the hats on them while they're inside, so that when they walk outside, they've got the hats on and they don't have to worry. They can see every child has a hat on. So that's a rule for daycare, and then mummy has a rule for home. But think about it. In 10 years' time, he'll be 14. He'll be a half-grown human being. He'll be getting testosterone pumping through his veins, pimples, muscles. He'll have some height on him. He'll be coming up to 6 foot by then. His brothers, who are 20 and 22, certainly were. So I expect he will. And so hats off when you go inside is about minding yourself. Oh, I take my hat off and I humble myself when I walk inside, because the woman who runs this house keeps it clean and will offer me food. And I need to show her respect for that, because this house is shelter, and with no shelter, I cannot survive. So I will show respect. And, you know, it's something that I really instilled, especially in my sons. I have three sons. I have a daughter as well. And respect for herself is different, in that I feel I also have to teach her respect for her dignity. And certainly the boys have to have dignity as well. That's part of it too. But the manners that I was taught when I was a child, I feel my children must have as well. And they grew up using the title and last name of people who were in my life. I have a friend who's in her 70s. The boys always called her Mrs. Houlihan. They never called her Cherie. And they shouldn't. When they met her, she was in her 60s. Why wouldn't they call her Mrs. Houlihan? I had some people who would object and say, oh, you know, Mr. Brown was my father's name. I don't get called that. And then so I'd say, well, my sons will call you Mr. Trevor. Because if he wasn't going to give his last name, they'd still give him a title. They'd still show him respect. And that allowed my sons, even though they were very difficult sons to raise, it allowed them to have step back and to look at other humans who are older than them and have mind themselves and have a little care around them, and also have the time to listen, because you hear the wisdom of the elders and then that can guide you. So it's really important that they would have that time to listen. But I would like to say this before we move on, is that respect starts with yourself. And when I was in a women's group last year, I think it was, and we were all sitting around the table and they wanted to know our number one value. And I said, oh, my number one value is respect. And the facilitator said, oh, is that because you command respect and you expect everybody to respect you? And I went, no, I would never command respect. That sounds like something a CEO would try and do. You know, Mao Zedong or someone. No, I don't command respect. I respect people who respect themselves. When you disrespect somebody else, the person you are disrespecting first and foremost is yourself. And so because of that, I respect people who respect themselves. When I first meet somebody, I will offer them respect, but I will also observe them and I will see whether or not they respect themselves. And then I will keep my respect for them as a sentient human being, but I will withdraw and not have much interaction with them if I can see they do not respect themselves. Because if you don't respect yourself, that's when you start to abuse yourself and you abuse others.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, David?
I totally agree. I didn't realize that, I'm just speaking for myself and my own experience, even though I was taught manners, I lacked in respect for myself and fell prey to addictions. And it wasn't until I started getting into recovery that I realized how often I would beat myself up. And that is not respectful of myself. And I think that it's really difficult to extend that respect to others if you don't respect yourself. I mean, to be genuinely respectful of others, it's a real conundrum. And I was thinking about a birthday party that I went to yesterday. I am in a different situation than Kat is. I don't have children. My children are my pets, and they respect me. But I do have some godchildren, and I went to a birthday party that two of them had yesterday. They share birthdays that are close together, and one of them is 5 and one of them is 3. And even though they're that young, I feel that they should show some manners and some semblance of respect. I know it's difficult at that age, but they have not been taught that by their parents. And it saddens me that they're on a path where they're not going to be learning things like self-respect or respect for other people. When it was present time, they just dove into their presence like kids are prone to do, but there were no thank yous. And so that made me feel sad. The only thing that I can do is model manners for them. I can talk to them about the importance of manners and try to show them a different way of dealing with the world than they've been taught in their own home environment. I do think that it's very important to model respectful behavior, to model manners for people. And as Kat was saying, if somebody's not showing respect for themselves, then I too withdraw from those individuals because I want to be in a place with my fellow human beings where there is a mutual aspect of respect for one another.
Yeah, it's so important, isn't it? And look, manners start from when the baby is a baby. No, my children are, my youngest two are 4 and 6, and they show manners. You know, I'm a big one for table manners, and my two eldest ones used to call me the table manners Nazi, and it's because, yeah, well,
good
have some self-control. You make your dog have control around its food, don't you? A lot of people will make that dog sit and wait until they're given permission to eat. And I'm not equating people to dogs, but what I'm saying is the dog learns to have some control. And so we need to learn how to have some control. when we sit at a table, if not everyone is seated and served, don't eat. Wait till everybody's served and then eat. If you're at a restaurant, wait till everybody's served and then eat. Eat together. That way, everybody enjoys each other's company while we're eating. It's a social thing. Keep your conversation polite. Use your knife and fork. Don't use your hands unless it's customary for your country that you do. It's just simple things. Boys wear a T-shirt at the table. If you've been running around without a T-shirt on in summer, you wear a T-shirt before when you sit down at the table. These things are just simple, but they make a difference because you're coming together as a family to connect. So if you're connecting together in a controlled environment where everybody has their own self-control, there's not somebody telling you how to be. You're all just, you've learned it and you're doing it together. It's a much more peaceful experience. And I think that's really what we're talking about here is kindness and being peaceful. These things, that's what manners and respect result in. Even psychopaths that are portrayed in movies, the way that they act, often they will use manners. And it's because it will make the other person comply more. Now, I'm not saying that I respect psychopaths. What I'm saying is that even in extreme circumstances, manners will cause people to comply, or they will cause people to stop. They will calm down and they will start to feel more like they're in control. And that's the big thing. So when a child is young, you give them the boundaries with the manners. You say, you don't hand them, like I will give one of my children, say they wanted an apple, I will hold the apple to them. They will have their hand on the apple, but I will not release the apple to them until they say thank you. Then once they've said thank you, they can have the apple. If a child comes up to me and says, I want, well, I want never gets. So it will be, I will not attack them for saying I want. I will just say, may I please have? And then I will wait for them to repeat, may I please have an apple? And then I will say, yes, you may. And I will give them the apple. And then when they say thank you, I will say, you're welcome. It's simple little things like that that mean that when we're interacting in the house, we're pleasant to each other. Instead of me, say, calling out to my son saying, hey, Odin, instead of him spinning on his heel and going, what? Which is what happens a lot for people. He will spin on his heel and say, yes, Mum. Isn't that much nicer? It's about being peaceful together. It's about being kind towards one another. It is about, there is a compliance factor there. You know, it does make people more malleable. But at the same time, if you need something done and you use manners and you use respect, you're more likely to have that thing done. Now, if we look at people who work in toxic environments, manners and respect are usually what's out the window. Whereas people who work in happy environments, you know, somebody's got to be the follower. Not everyone can be the leader, but if the leader is showing respect to their followers, people are going to be more compliant, more malleable, and they're going to be more flexible, and things are going to happen. What do you think, David?
I agree with that. And I was thinking along the lines of chivalry, which in the past may have been perceived as being sexist. You talked about the women's movement, but there's no reason we can't all be chivalrous toward each other. I think that we do need to extend kindness to one another. And I love the examples that you gave concerning your kids, that you're modeling those manners for them when you say please. There are not enough parents that use that word with their children, and they're setting the stage for those kids to not say that to other people. Please is a very simple word, and thank you is another simple phrase that you can offer to somebody. I really, really think that we need to consider what we want to receive from another person and extend that to them. It's a mutual experience that we have when we're extending manners to somebody and receiving them in return. And it's really a gift that we can give to each other that's free. It's very simple. It doesn't tax us at any level. It's just a gift that we can give to one another.
Yeah, and we give it to ourselves as well because we feel good. But you know, David, also, when you have self-respect, you made me think of two things. One was within myself. One time when I was in my early 30s, I'd moved to Redcliffe, which is sort of a satellite city north of Brisbane. And I noticed that a lot of the men there were not respectful. So I decided within myself that I wanted to be treated like a lady. So I just said to myself, I am a lady and I'll be treated like a lady. And I didn't announce it to anyone. I didn't make fuss. But I had that energy within myself and I obviously carried myself that way. And men were stopping and letting me pass. And I remember in a shopping aisle in Woolworths, you know, pushing my shopping trolley, and there were a lot of people clogging the entrance and I couldn't get into this aisle. And a gentleman pulled his trolley away and said, of course I would let you in because you're a lady. Now, I didn't do anything. I just sort of stood there and went, oh, evaluating the situation, thinking I might turn around and go another way. He said that to me, and that was because of the energy that I was putting out. And I like it, you know. I don't think that it is rude for a man to open a door for me or to step aside for me. I'm smaller. My body's smaller. Men are, you know, just in a physiological thing. I'm equipped to produce life. I'm equipped to be a gatherer. The male is equipped to protect and to hunt. And because the male is harder, taller, larger than me, a male can inflict pain on me. So he needs to check himself. He needs to know that he has someone here with him who he must protect and be careful of so that he doesn't hurt her, because she carries within her the power of creation and she holds the fabric of society together. You know, Dr. Phil said that the family rotates around the woman. Or if you were in a gay home, it would be the male who is the most nurturing. If it was a lesbian home, it would be the woman who is the most nurturing. It's the person who nurtures the most that the whole place rotates around. So having that respect is really important, and it's nice. And then it makes me want to, if a man does that for me, then I'm going to want to do something nice for him. And that might be, all it might take is for me to look him in the eye and smile and graciously say thank you.
You know, I was thinking about another situation, Kat, and that is manners on the road. There are too few people that extend courtesy when they're driving, and it really is becoming a deplorable situation over here. People cutting each other off, not yielding to others that are entering traffic, not moving over to allow them in. There's a road that I travel along frequently where another road intersects at just maybe a tenth of a mile from another intersection, and the cars will back up quite a bit so that the people that are trying to get onto that main road have a very difficult time. I mean, granted, you need to be safe when you allow somebody to enter, but there's no reason that when traffic has come to a stop, if you approach that area, that you can't allow a car to pass. It really is about practicing random acts of kindness. Again, we come back to that word kindness. What is it that we want in this world? Do we want a hostile place where people are selfish, or do we want a place where people are kind to one another, where we get along, where we find peace for ourselves? I mean, these are questions, simple questions that you can ask yourself that affect the quality of your very life. So I encourage people to consider just the small things that they can do. Extending a smile to somebody. We've talked about this in the past, how when you extend a smile to somebody, it generally elicits a smile from them. And that makes both people feel good. And those are good manners, too. Those stem from kindness, and I think that all manners do. A lot of them that we're taught as children may not make sense. We may not understand the inner meaning of them. But they do create and foster a sense of well-being for people. And, you know, you were talking earlier about the environment. We live on a precious, precious planet that is being polluted, that is being ravaged. We need to be respectful of this place if we're going to continue to exist as a species. And we need to have respect for the animals. We are facing more and more species of animals becoming extinct because of cruelty cruelty that people inflict upon animals. And you know, species are disappearing from this planet. It really is a shame, and there's no reason that we can't continue to have the cycle of life continue as it has in the past. What do you think, Kat?
Yeah, well, that's it. The thing is that manners and respect, they don't just stop when you're interacting with each other in the house. They extend out to the greater planet. They are not just human beings. And the word respect, you know, I have respect for snakes. Now, a lot of people are like, oh, snake, oh, kill it. No, I have respect for that snake. Why? That snake has fangs, and even if it's a non-venomous snake, they hurt. That snake has muscle. It can kill me. It can kill my child. It can do some major damage. I'm going to have respect for the snake. I'm going to respect that it has weaponry. It's a weaponized animal. But I'm also going to have respect for the fact that it has its place in the ecosystem. And without the snake, the prey animals will overtake. And then if the prey animals overtake, the ecosystem balance goes out of whack. And we've seen this with wolves being reintroduced into parts of North America, where the river systems have begun to come back to life. Having respect for our great Mother Earth, Goddess Sophia, having her as our host, as our mother, is a massive blessing. You know, if we don't live here, where are we going to live? I don't know. We haven't found another Earth. And then if we did, we'd still have to learn how to live with that ecosystem. So it's very important, you know, recycle. Put your rubbish away. Clean up after yourself. All of these things come down. It's what you learn in the home and how you choose to treat your own environment. You then reflect it out into the greater society and the greater environment. And we're all responsible for the rubbish that's in the ocean. That great, what do they call it? The Great Island Trash Heap in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. That's not one country's fault. That's every country's fault. You know, the people who are not at fault for that are the indigenous people who are living off the land in their huts the way they always did. They're not at fault. They're not. But everybody else, people who buy plastic things and don't dispose of them properly, they're at fault. So we have to remember that manners and respect start in the home, but they expand out into the entire world. I totally agree with you. But we also have, there was another thing that you said that I got reminded of, and now I can't remember, David. You said something that had prompted a thought in my head. I really like what you were saying about in the car. And one of the things that happens here in Queensland, it's so sunny, we don't have to flash lights at each other to wave or anything like that. And I just started to do it, you know, when I first learned to drive. When you're out in the highway, if you overtake someone, you'll flash two or three times your indicator on the left and then on the right, and then you'll move forward. It's like a thank you or a see you later. It's a nice thing. You in the night, you might just flash your lights to tell somebody it's safe to overtake, that sort of deal. But stopping in traffic and allowing someone to exit a car park or something like that, that happens a lot for me. And I think it's because I put that energy out to people. I don't think I'm a special person. It's I do it for other people. And the thing that I always do is I wave. So if somebody does something kind for me, I wave to them and they see my wave. It makes them feel good. And you know what? They're going to wave to somebody else. And they're going to stop and let someone else into traffic too, because I stop to let someone else into traffic. And it becomes a positive ripple effect. And you find here in Brisbane, I can't speak for any other city because I don't live in any other city, but here in Brisbane, politeness in traffic is becoming a more and more accepted thing. And there's still road rage, there's still idiots, but it's not as bad as it used to be. And I don't think it started with me. But I think that a lot of people were like me. And a few years ago, a lot of people clicked over and are just starting to be nicer to each other on the roads. And it's making all the difference. You can tell somebody from Sydney who's come up to Queensland, who's come up to Brisbane, because at the traffic lights, they'll be the person honking their horn when someone's in a big diesel and it takes them a little while to get off the lights in first gear. And you're the first off the light. There'll be someone from Sydney who's there honking their horn because they're impatient. But after about a year, you'll see that same car. They won't be honking their horn. They won't be being impatient because it's too damn hot and everybody's just sort of getting along with each other and trying to just live their lives in a peaceful way. And I really think that's it's a great thing. It's one of the things I enjoy about where I live. And I'd love to hear from other people about the way that people show manners and respect to each other and where they live, because I think that if we find out about that, you know, that's a sort of unspoken thing that happens. And if we find out about it, we can boost this movement, because we all need to get back into it. The politenesses of the past need to come back, not the stuffy suppression and oppression. You know, there's no way I want to be stuck in a corset with a hoop dress and having no prospects. And I certainly don't want that for my daughter. But the politenesses, yes, I'd like them back, thank you. And it really starts with people just deciding to do it. It doesn't have to be a government. It doesn't have to be a school. What we do need is to take the pressure off the teachers, because teachers are the ones who are trying to teach manners. They shouldn't have to. They should be the ones who are enjoying the children who are all taught at home manners. Anyway, that was a bit of a ramble.
Oh, no, I couldn't agree more, though. It really does need to start in the home. And it sounds like you have really made an impact upon your own children as far as manners and respect go. I believe that we can also, as I was saying earlier, model that behavior for people that don't have a clue. Maybe it will plant a seed. Maybe they'll consider the ways that they've been selfish. If nothing else, we can gain self-respect ourselves through the manners that we show to other people, the kindness that we extend to other people. And I liked what you were saying, Kat, about how you believe that the energy you put out returns to you. I believe very much in the law of attraction, and that we do tend to draw into our own experience what we put out into the world, be it through our behavior, through our thoughts. Whatever we put out tends to come back to us. That seems to be the natural law of the universe. And I'm not sure what else I want to say on the subject, except that I encourage people to share stories about how people have been kind to them. That this is something that we can gain more awareness on as we consider the impact that we have on the world around us, because it does all begin with us and ultimately ends with us when it comes to extending manners and being respectful of ourselves and other people. Do you have anything else you'd like to add, Kat?
Yeah, I was horrified when my sons started school, my two oldest sons, and at the special education units, the children were to call the teachers by their first name. I was horrified. I never liked it. And that was some idea that this would make it more personable, and that the children, because they had special needs, it would make it easier for them if they spoke to the teachers with their first names. No, I never liked it. And when my eldest son started high school, I was relieved to find out that at the special education unit there, the teachers all had their title and last name to be called. So, and Liam's favorite teacher was Mr. Saunders, who unfortunately passed on when Liam started year 12. And So we need to look at how society itself is breaking down its own fabric of manners and respect. And, you know, we need to say, no, teachers need to be given respect. My child should find it a delight, a secret delight to know what what their teacher's first name is, just as I did when I was a child, because it's off limits. You show that person respect. People will get along much better as a rule in society as a whole if we do that, if we show respect to each other and we give certain members of society the respect that they deserve. And that means if you've got a kid and you've got a friend, until that friend gives the child permission to use their first name, they shouldn't. What I'd love out of this show, and David touched on it, is if you can jump onto Facebook, onto my profile page, and tell me how somebody's shown you respect this week or in the last month, and how you've shown someone else respect, and how manners have made everything better for you, even in a difficult situation. I'd love to hear about driving. I'd love to hear about at college or school, at work, out shopping. I don't care where it is. Friend me on Kat Edwards or go to my page, Kat Edwards, Life Coach and Spiritual Professional on Facebook, and tell me how manners and respect have impacted on your life and the lives of others in a positive way. Let's get this movement going. Let's have more power to each other in it, and let's have peace and kindness spread throughout the world through manners and respect.
I just wanted to add that we're all students and we're all teachers in this life, and when it comes to anything that touches on human kindness, that's something that we can extend, that we can receive, and that we can emulate. And so with that said, unless you have anything else to say, Kat, would you lead us into meditation?
Yes. So focus on a point on the wall or close your eyes and take 3 deep breaths. And as you breathe in, say, I am. And as you breathe out, say, worthy. I am worthy. I am worthy. I am worthy. Now, if you've got your eyes closed, focus on the point between your 2 eyes up on the center of your forehead. And if your eyes are open, keep your eyes on the dot on the wall. And I'd like to pick you to picture yourself about age 13. See yourself. You're in between childhood and adulthood. You're at the beginning of your journey through your teenage years. Have a look at your hair, your clothing, your posture. What do you like to eat? What do you like to listen to? Do you have a school bag? What does that look like? What are your shoes? Just focus on 13-year-old you for a bit. A 13-year-old, you will have had some level of confusion about yourself, about your sexuality. 13-year-old, you will have had some confusion about the way the world was. You may have had some pretty rough experiences by then. Maybe some pain there. There may be some good there too. Let's focus on the good. Let's focus on how you got yourself up in the morning. How you dressed yourself. You showered. You brushed your teeth. You combed your hair. Maybe you put on too much deodorant. Maybe you looked after siblings. Spoke to your friends, had a few laughs. The good in you then is the good in you now. It's just expanded. So remember the good in you. Let's put the 13-year-old you into your heart. And we're going to do this by having you sit down in your mind's eye. Adult you, sit. And imagine 13-year-old you facing you, facing adult you. And bring your arms open, bring the 13-year-old you into a hug and assimilate you into yourself. But you're assimilating the good. You're assimilating the youth. You're assimilating the beauty, the funny, the mischievous, the happy, the light. There's light there. Bring it in. Bring in the light of you. Now you know this is a part of you that needs protected. This is a part of you that needs respect. Even if this part of you was very damaged, that's like a wound that you have to heal. You would show the wound respect. You would cover it. You would put ointment on it. You would dress it. You would enjoy to see that it was starting to heal. You would rest. So knowing that you have 13-year-old you within yourself, take this knowledge and tell yourself, today I will show myself more respect. I won't eat that sticky bun. I'll eat an apple instead because I love my 13-year-old self. I will do it. I won't use that swear word. I will use a different word, a less aggressive word, because my 13-year-old self needs me to do that. I'll drink more water. Because my 13-year-old self needs me to be hydrated. And I will love myself. Because my 13-year-old self desperately needs me to love myself. So I can live on as we finish the meditation, place your right arm on your left shoulder and your left arm on your right shoulder and bring yourself into a hug and hug you. And when you're ready, open your eyes and resolve that you will love yourself more today and every day to come. So be it.
So be it. Thank you, Kat. That was beautiful. So join us again next week. If you have any suggestions for topics, please email me at dcowder, and I'll spell that for you, DCOWDER, at TWCNY.RR.com. If I receive your email before Thursday, I'll include your topic next weekend. If not, we'll consider it for another weekend. And so I wish you all a good night or good day, depending on where you are on this beautiful planet of ours. Show it some respect and show yourself some respect as a result. Thank you.